Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor here at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on with our series that we're calling Uncommon Crown. We're looking at this reality that Jesus came to establish his kingdom in our hearts. And this Sunday, we were in Matthew chapter 2, the story after Jesus' birth of the visit of the wise men to King Herod. And they come and they tell King Herod that they've followed the star that they saw come up in the east. They've come from the east and they visited the star that they saw rise up in the heavens, and they've come followed it all the way here, and they've come to worship the King of the Jews. And as the story goes on, when I first read it, I didn't necessarily think of it this way, but as I was reflecting on Mary and Joseph and their life and all that's happened, and then King Herod, as he is confronted with this evidence of the birth of the Messiah, the story really ends up becoming about sort of control, the people's willingness, our willingness to give up control and to surrender to the Lord. And so what I did is I ended up really kind of drawing our attention to look at Herod's response to being confronted with this news versus look at Mary and Joseph's response to God's pronouncement in their life. And so you have King Herod, and King Herod, if you know the background, so he was put as the king of Judea by the Roman Senate, and over his years as king, he murders his wife, three of his sons, his brother-in-law, his mother-in-law, his uncle, and many others that he suspects of treachery. That's how insecure he is, how threatened he feels, and because he's acting out of that insecurity and that drive to maintain control, that relentless need to maintain control, cling to power and position, he ends up doing terrible things. You know, if you follow the story in Matthew 2, he ends up killing the little boys of Bethlehem because he's trying to wipe out the Messiah. He's trying to kill Jesus because he feels so threatened by the birth of the Messiah. And that's what's fascinating and tragic is, I mean, three guys show up from the other end of the world and tell Herod, we've come following a supernatural star. Where is the King of the Jews? And Herod hears this and he doesn't say, you guys are crazy, that's nonsense. He seems to believe them. He actually calls in the Jewish scholars and tells them, says, hey, where is the King of the Jews? Where's the Messiah supposed to be born? And they say, in Bethlehem. And he acts upon that. But the way he acts, instead of going and investigating those claims and saying, man, if this is true, then I need to go meet this Messiah, the real King of the Jews, and surrender my life to him and surrender my kingship to his kingship. Instead, Herod says, no, I want to maintain my power. I want to maintain my kingdom. I need to stay in control. And it drives him to do really terrible things. And I contrasted that with the response of Joseph and Mary, who, when God meets them and the angel speaks to them, or to Mary, when God speaks to Joseph in a dream, I mean, the pronouncements to Mary and Joseph that you read about, I mean, it totally upends their lives. You've got a young girl who's about to be married and the angel says, you're going to have a child through the Holy Spirit. I mean, totally changes her life. And yet her response, Luke chapter 1, verse 38, is, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word, Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That should be like a life verse for us as believers, right? Lord, I'm your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. And when Joseph, when God tells him, right, no, stay with Mary. Don't divorce her, as he was planning to do. He says, stay with her. And then he tells him, you got to pick up and move to Egypt. Because King Herod is trying to kill the baby. I mean, you think about the life-altering moment that is. You need to pick up and leave everything. Leave your homeland, leave your family, take your new wife and child. You've been thrust into fatherhood, right? Probably before he anticipated being so. And I want you to move to Egypt, to another country far away. And yet, Mary and Joseph's response is obedience. And they do what the Lord tells them to do. And it just reminded me of I've said this before and heard it from another pastor. It's always stuck with me that our life will be marked by one of two phrases or mottos, my will be done or thy will be done. My will be done or thy will be done. And I think you see in Herod's life, it's my will be done. And tragically, really he ends up living out what Jesus says, right? What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? He keeps his kingdom for just a little while. He dies shortly after this. And then he's going to have to face the Lord. Meanwhile, you see Joseph and Mary in some ways give up their life, right? To say, no, Lord, it's yours. But they get to be a part of God's redemptive plan. And so it's true for them. It's true for us. Our lives will be marked by one of two things, either the motto, my will be done, or thy will be done. And I encourage you, I encouraged all of our folks on Sunday, let it be thy will be done. Lord, I want to live for your kingdom. Because Jesus, you gave your life for me. And so I gladly give my life back to you. Let me pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to pray for yourself today. Heavenly Father, we love you. We celebrate here at Christmas time that you so loved us and so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God, thank you that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so, Jesus, you gave your life for us. We gladly give our lives back to you and say, thy will, your will, be done here on earth in our lives as it is in heaven. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.